lovely passages in Scripture, well known to us all, like many of the phrases and verses in the Gospel of John are very striking ones. And it's in John chapter 10 and verses 27 and 28. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. If you remember the context as I was reading it to you tonight, where he turns to the Pharisees when they had been opposing him, that he shows to them that they are not his sheep. And he then shows the opposite to be true, that there are people who are his sheep. And that is the area we are in. He recognizes in this chapter that there are people, he said, you are not of my sheep and I don't know you. But there are some who are his sheep and he knows them. Our Lord loves to take the illustration of a shepherd and the sheep. It's something so natural to the Scripture, and I think natural also to our own understanding. We may not be sheep farmers, although I have been a minister in a sheep farming area. That made it interesting, but I think, nevertheless, although I suppose that many a shepherd would be able to correct me on an illustration, they didn't do that, but I'm sure in their hearts that they could. But nevertheless, it is a kind of picture drawn of our Saviour and those who believe in him that has a warm place in all our hearts. We are used to the idea of thinking of Jesus Christ, our Saviour, as a shepherd-like person. We're used to the idea. And also we rather are fond of the idea of a sheep, and especially a lamb. I think in everybody's mind throughout the world, there is a loveliness about a little lamb and the beauty and the purity that seems to be in that little creature. Shepherd and his sheep. In a sense, it's as if he were expounding a part of Scripture in the Old Testament that seems to have endeared itself to all people. I wonder if you can find anyone in our land who doesn't know the 23rd Psalm or know parts of it. They may have forgotten nearly everything else, but this they will remember. And you'll find they'll be able, if you recite it, to limp along to greater or lesser degrees of success accordingly, but it will not be unknown to them to be able to say, the Lord is my shepherd. It's a beautiful phrase. To be able to say it upon our lips and in our hearts, whatever else may be true about us, this we know, the Lord is my shepherd. And then there are lovely promises also and statements there. I shall not want, he leads me in the paths of righteousness. And he goes through different parts of our lives and our spiritual lives and shows that he will never leave us nor forsake us. And even in the valley of the shadow of death, even there, he doesn't let go, but he is faithful to us and helps us and guides us. And then, even finally, he prepares a table for us. It's a psalm that speaks to all our hearts, and it seems to embrace the total of our faith, and especially when we look at it through the eyes of the New Testament. And our Lord does. He takes that psalm and makes it a living thing to us. It would be lovely in any case, but it is because we see it in the light of who the Lord is that makes it especially valuable to us, our Lord himself. Phrases you will remember my reading to you tonight. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd who lays his life down for the sheep. And then he describes this as well. And this is what he hands here. When he's speaking to the Pharisees, with all their religion, they understood so little and seemed to oppose him so very, very much. And he says, well, these sheep that I know and follow me, I tell you, God gave them me. My Father gave them me. So this makes this part of Scripture a very profound part. It seems so simple at the beginning and saying, well, there's the shepherd and there the sheep, and who are these that follow the shepherd? But there are depths here. In verse 29, my Father, which gave them me, is greater than all. For any of us here tonight who know our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ, and belong to the sheep of his pasture, then it is good for us also to know that we were gifts. We were presents, we were gifts that the Father gave to the Son. And when a person is converted, you could say, the Father has just given another gift to the Son. Another present has been given to him today. A believer, and he gives him to the Son. We are gifts, and they are from the Father. But let's look at this short passage that I have tonight. And consider the loveliness of it all. For those who know the Lord, it is very warm-hearting and it is encouraging. And for those who are seeking, there is a lovely simplicity here. And yet you can see it's also very profound. And it comes from the heart of God. And our Saviour himself utters the word. Now the first point I'd like to bring to you is the call, the essential call. You cannot be a Christian unless he has called you. Now, I do not wish to put it in any offensive way now to anybody who may be here tonight who may be saying this kind of thing. And I've had it said to me many, many times. And when it's said to me, I do try to be as gentle as I can because I understand that they say it because they do not understand. I say something like this. I've always been a Christian. Now, you know, you don't like to challenge it. When a person says that to you, you don't wish to be uncharitable. But you know that that means they have never understood. I've always been a Christian. There's never been a time in my life when I wasn't a Christian. And then if you ask them a little, they say, well, my parents were Christians and they went to church and they brought me up to go to church. That you don't doubt. And they take it for granted then that somewhere along the line that they just got to know more and more about the Lord and that they just started off being Christian. They may be virtuous, they may be moral, they may have a great understanding of the things of God. Christian they are not. It's very much like the illustration I gave to the children this morning. A simple thing, if I may remind you of that, just a simple little story of how a person going to a certain place finds the time of the train, departure, makes sure his destination is right, such things, and sees that he's there, he or she are there in time, got your luggage, you've got all the knowledge about the train, any details you wish to know about the comforts and the amenities in the train itself, time it will take, all that you can know. And you could suppose say, well, I'm experienced on the station. I'm a traveller. But unless you get on the train, you don't get anywhere. You don't get anywhere. It's the same when they say that. Well, I know all you know. And probably on a certain level they do. They've been brought up in the sound of things. But a Christian, they cannot be without a call. If there is a call. A call from heaven. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Why do they hear his voice? And why does he know them? And why do they follow him? Because there is something before that. There is that initial belonging, that initial relationship where they became his sheep, planned in eternity, but in time, where they became his sheep, so that there would be a time when our Lord is able to say, well, these are now my sheep. They hear my voice. They know it. That is true. But how did that take place? It is the call of a God to a sinner. This call is brought to us by the Holy Spirit. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. By the Holy Spirit. And this is something like this. There is what we call the general call. And the general call can be what I'm doing here tonight in hopefully, faithfully, bringing to you the gospel of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ, bringing that truth to you and making it as best as I can, by God's grace, as plain as I can make it. And everyone hears it, or they hear the sound, the vocal cords, they hear the sound, the words. Understand the words and the sentences and so on. Maybe if a person's very angry, they would choose to say, I didn't understand anything. But that is merely a comment on how they feel regarding things. But they will have heard a general kind of thing. But that doesn't save us. Then in the same sermon, in the same message, that general call heard by a person, say, for many years even, suddenly becomes different. Person next to them is still the general call, but to them, it becomes the special call, the effectual call. To them, that night, it is different. They heard it many times, and if you ask them, they'd say, well, yes, I've heard the minister saying these things. Yes, I've heard. Yes, I've understood. They may not even have seen how it applied to them. Then one day, it does apply. And it's as if, and it is so, that the Holy Spirit has taken the same message for one person and winged it to the very depths of their being. They're amazed. They wonder whatever is happening to them. Never did they hear anything quite like this. Never before, when it disturbed, may have been coming for 20, 30, or maybe more years even to the church. And they wonder, whatever it is, it is simply this, that the general call that is always going out in a spiritual way by the Holy Spirit becomes that special call, and the Holy Spirit is regenerating that person, making them spiritually alive, quickening, and aware. Not saved yet, aware. And they're listening now in a different way, in a way that they had not known or ever could have known before. It is the special call. And there are hymns, aren't they? There's one that comes to my mind now. I heard the voice of Jesus say, come unto me undressed. It is a call to faith. And the soul then, if you're going through this just now, there will be a turmoil in your heart and soul. You'll find many emotions. It never has an easy passage. It always has a rough passage because of our pride. And you'll find one moment you'll feel, yes, that is what I want. And then a wave of anger will come. How dare that person speak like that to me? He's getting at me. And then there then can be a mixture of these things and going from one to the other. We call it the chasm of conviction. When they've been awakened from a dreadful death-like situation, where their souls are hell-bound, where they are spiritually blind, and they do not understand, and speak to them as we may, they are not able to understand. And then one day, they hear the call to faith in Jesus Christ. Their eyes are opened. They recognize who he is. And it comes with a clarity. Maybe they would have known their doctrines before, unable to say so. But now it comes with a clarity when he says words like this. He said unto them, I am the good shepherd, and the good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. And that seems to come out of the scriptures and becomes a living thing. Who is this? He is the Son of God. How is he described? As the good shepherd. And what does he do for me? He's willing to die for me. Why should he die for me? Because I have a debt to pay. What is the debt I have to pay? My sinfulness. And in the eyes of a holy God, that my sinfulness, that the debt of that is eternal damnation. How can I pay such a debt? I can certainly pay it, but I will pay it eternally and will never be able to say, at last, I've come to the last pages of my debt. It is an eternal thing. And here is one who says, I paid that debt. I paid that debt. When our eyes are opened, when we have been made so spiritually aware, we begin to understand and see, this is the Son of God. This is the shepherd of my soul. He's making me one of his sheep and the sheep of his pasture, that I may belong to him. And we come. How do we come? Just as we are. It's a good line of a hymn that you know. Very descriptive, just as I am, just as we are. So many will argue like this, well, yes, I'll even agree with that, but I'll improve a little before I come for forgiveness so that I won't have to waste so much of his forgiveness. I'll see if I can better myself a little. I think it was Gatsby or Joseph Hart, I mixed the hymns up a little, who said, if you tarry till you're better, you will never come at all. We do not improve, we deteriorate. And so it is better to come straight away when we realize and understand the call to come to the Son of God, the only begotten Son of God, the door, he describes himself here, the gates of heaven, the truth, the life, the way. These things are in the Gospel of John particularly, meaning one thing really, that he is the entry to an experience of God. He is the entry to heaven itself. There are no back doors or side doors whereby we are able to come. It's always through him alone. And he says in these chapters, no man cometh unto the Father but by me. It is the Son of God. Now then, if he is the Son of God, and I would say, since he is the Son of God, we dare not ignore his words. We dare not ignore his mission. We dare not lay it aside rudely and say, maybe some other time. We have to take notice because he is the good shepherd. That's why. Because he is the good shepherd. And when we are here, we are without excuse. He invites us to come to himself for two things. For forgiveness, for life. Have you found your way there? You might say, well, here's my answer again. I've always been a Christian. And because I've always been a Christian, I don't need to find my way there. Then I ask you a simple question to answer in your own heart. Are you saved? Do you know that you're going to heaven? And you know your answer. You'll say, nobody can know. I don't know. You can't know. You're not able to know. Because you know there is no peace in your heart. Here alone is able to give us that assurance. Then we become his sheep. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them. The voice of Jesus then becomes the most important voice in our lives. In prosperity or in adversity, in sickness and in health, in life and in the valley of the shadow of death, it is the voice of Jesus by the Holy Spirit that comforts our hearts and our souls. No other shepherd for us now. No other voice for us now. It is the voice of Jesus. And once we have recognized that as the voice of the Son of God, we have no desire or any inclination for any other person or any other voice. His voice alone. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them. That's a wonderful phrase. He knows us. And to be able to say that is in opposition to the phrase in Scripture regarding the day of judgment when he says to those who were not his. And do you remember he said, depart from me, ye cursed, I never knew you. Never knew you. But to be able to say, I know you. We know many people, and many people know us. Maybe some important people know some of us. I don't know. Maybe they do. In the world's measuring of importance. And we might say, well, you know, who spoke to me the other day? And you can mention somebody very, very important. And then you can add, in brackets, but mainly to impress. It's really, that's in headlines, but it's put in brackets. They know me, you know. And to be able to say, yes, well, or something like this, as ridiculous as this, if you like. The Queen knows me, and she called for a cup of tea the other day. She was shopping in Cardiff, and she thought she'd call by. She knows me, you know. Well, if I said that, you'd be saying, this is a show-off, you know. To be able to say that and to say that. But it is wonderful when we are able to say, I know him, and it's not showing off. Usually people turn away. I know him, and he knows us. We needn't be afraid then. Are you afraid of life? Are you afraid of death? Are you afraid of dreadful illnesses? Are you afraid of these things? Why should we ever anxious be? When such a God is ours, we know his voice. And he will comfort us and be with us on those times. And he knows us. And because of that, we are told, and we will follow him. Of course we will follow him. We'll follow him through all the pilgrimage of our lives. Times of great problems and disappointments and difficulties. Times of great joy and happiness. But wherever he leads me, he'll see me through them all. And whatever the situation may be, I follow that voice. I follow that person. I am the sheep of his pasture. And he is my shepherd. Do you remember this hymn? Oh, let me see thy footmarks, and in them plant mine own. My hope to follow duly is in thy strength alone. O guide me, call me, draw me, uphold me to the end, and then in heaven receive me, my Saviour and my friend. He is our shepherd. He calls us. Do you know of that call? Do you know of that call? And that call to the very depths of your being, and to respond to him when he calls you. The second thing is this: everlasting life, what it gives us. To these whom he knows, and I will give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, shall never be lost. As noting that hymn that we were singing, beautiful words there. The soul that on Jesus has leaned for repose, I will not desert to its foes. The soul, though all hell should endeavor to shake, I'll never, no never, no never forsake. The security of that, in knowing that we have been given a gift, as we who believe, are gifts from God the Father to God the Son. So God the Son gives to us the gift of life. We grow older, we grow more tired, and frailty overcomes our tiny little bodies, and so on. And so it goes on that way by the very nature of things. But one thing is true: whatever may be, as the years roll on, they bring me but nearer to him, because we have the gift of everlasting life. And in any situation, this we know, that the promise of God is reliable and will remain steadfast and true, and heaven itself will be my lot. Do you think about it sometimes? We do sometimes, don't we? A richer, fuller life. In heaven, the physical hindrances and sometimes the difficult circumstances we have here will not be there. Death is like a shadow over us in this life. Sickness, sorrow, and pain. Yet they are not there. And that is something of a description of the life that is there. Richer, fuller, more wonderful and glorious. We shall see him as he is. And ultimately, after the second coming, we shall have our new bodies. And we shall be like our Saviour, and yet with identity. And we will be delighting in his presence. We shall be in glory. We shall never know what it means to get tired, or any of the things that held us back here. And a person might say, ah, well, isn't all that being so heavenly minded? Well, why not? It's true. What can be more real than life? What can be more real than the valley of the shadow of death? What must be more real? That when our eyelids close in death, that they open in glory. We are fearfully and wonderfully made. We are born for greater things than this earth. We are the creation of God. We are fearfully and wonderfully made. And when we come into a relationship with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, already we have the key to glory, and the entrance to heaven is ours, and the gift of everlasting life is ours. What is it like? In the same book, do you remember the so familiar words, in my Father's house? I love that phrase. In my Father's house are many mansions. It's not a contradiction. I know it seems strange that there are many mansions in a house. You'd rather put it round and say there are many houses in a mansion. But that's not how it is. It is homely. It is palatial. In my Father's house comes first. And rightly so. It is homely. It's a pity to lose that. It's there. It is palatial. We get used to the homeliness, and then you'll say, now then, I'll show you around. If I first saw the palatial part, I think I'd be overwhelmed and be rather frightened. As my soul comes from this life into everlasting life, and when I enter into the abundant entrance into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, I think I will still be rather shy by nature and wonder, where shall I look? What shall I do? And then I'd wonder, oh, is that God? I'm really frightened. But we are told, in my Father's house, we can call him Father. And as a Father, he comes. and wipes away all tears from our eyes. As a father, he comes in the homeliness and the kindness of our trembling souls. And then I will show you around all the loveliness and the beauty of the palatial splendor that I have here in glory. And then we are prepared for that. Everlasting life. There is no one in heaven who hasn't been called, who is not invited. And lastly, eternal security. How safe is this? Neither shall any man nor any one, neither shall anyone pluck them or snatch them, pluck them out of my Father's hand. You might fear and say, well, yes, I want to believe, but supposing I lose this, supposing that in the circumstances of life and the irreligion that is about us, that I will lose it. And here is the assurance that once we have come to a relationship with him, we can never be lost. Never lost. In our Savior's reputation of those whom he has gained to himself, he's lost none. None that have come to him. One saved, saved forever. One saved, no escape from glory. Glory is our lot, and we belong to him. And no one, even hell, should all the hosts of hell put on their most fearful forms of rage and malice on. They're not able to take me away or take any soul from the hold and the security of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We are safe. How safe am I? My Father, which gave them me, he doesn't give and take away. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all. Satan can have no look in on this. It's greater than all. And no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. And then he says, I and my Father are one. His will is my will. My will is his will. So when you come into this relationship, I'm able to say in a very special way, I know you, and you know my voice, because you know my voice. You heard me in that day when you came to believe in Jesus Christ as your Savior. When you cast your burden upon the Lord and your sins were forgiven, you heard the voice of Jesus say, you heard me during your life in many affliction and many a joy. You knew my voice in the depths of your being, in your heart. And also in the day of your death, in the valley of the shadow of death, you heard my voice. And as others were around you, yet I was there. And you need not fear, because underneath were the everlasting arms. In any case, you heard my voice inviting you home. And in the day of judgment, you will hear my voice owning you as those who belong to me. My sheep hear my voice. Paul takes us up. And in Romans 8, he puts it like this. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come. Persuaded, death can separate us from him. Life with its circumstances can. Angels and principalities, with reference to evil powers, they can't. Nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. The call is essential. The gift is everlasting life. And the certainty of it is this, that we have an eternal security, and God himself vouches for it. Let us pray. Almighty God and our Heavenly Father, we thank thee that we can come to thee in our Saviour's name and pray thy blessing upon us, O Lord. We thank thee, O Lord, for the purity and the simplicity in our Saviour. And we pray that we might not disregard him because of this, and that we might see the value of his death and find all that we require in him. Bless every soul here tonight, O Lord, that all of us might be in that fold. the sheep of thy pasture, for thy name's sake. Amen.